Thank you. 25 billion units shipped by 2020. 8 billion units shipped in 1 year in 2020. And as an executive at Cisco said, the Internet of Things is the biggest opportunity, the biggest change since the invention of the Internet. 2014 was the peak of the hype for Internet. However, the key question at the end of the day is, how do I make money in the Internet of Things? In 2015, our goal and my goal today is to provide you use cases that will help break through the hype and show you real examples of IoT implementations. We are using use cases to help communicate to our customers just how they can navigate through the IoT ecosystem. And it is very complex. Last week was CES, a big event in the US, a lot of consumer hype around IoT. And the only thing I can think of when looking at many of the products is these are solutions looking for a problem. There are some innovative products there, but there are a lot of products, a lot of IoT products that are not ready yet. Consumer hype around IoT is very big. The reality is IoT opportunities span multiple industries. And some of these opportunities will take a lot of time to mature. And I'll give you some examples of those. So today, let me dive into those use cases. But before I do that, I would like to set a foundation and provide you the visual of what Gartner sees IoT as, and give you a glimpse of our market sizing efforts that we did in 2014. Then we'll jump into use cases and I'll show you various industries and give you a glimpse of what's happening today on the manufacturing floor, in the retail space, and give you a slight glimpse of what is possible in the near future based on what's happening today. Then finally, we'll try to answer some of those burning questions that our clients come to us with every day. How do I navigate through this ecosystem? How do I create profitable business models implementing IoT? So let's go ahead and jump in. So first of all, what do service providers really need to know about IoT? Many different definitions out there. Gartner's definitions of IoT is a network of physical objects that contain embedded technology to sense their internal state or their external environment. The IoT ecosystem comprises of things, communications, applications, and data analysis. It's a huge ecosystem, and it requires partnerships to succeed, as I'll show you in a few slides. But ultimately, you need to boil down this complex ecosystem into value propositions that will make you money. IoT fundamentally is about business models. It's about taking information from the things, moving it to a gateway and the cloud, providing services to the end user or customer. This can be very complex, and security standards are all complicating these implementations. But it's important to know that when you provide your value proposition to your customer, that you're very clear about the return on investment of that IoT implementation. No more technologists falling in love with their technology. It's really about making money for your customer or saving money for your customer. There is no doubt that IoT will change the way we work and live. But to succeed in IoT, you need to follow some very specific steps for success. As I mentioned, the ecosystem is very vast. In fact, this is only a sample of the total number of companies involved in developing solutions for IoT. And you can see it really depends on where you look at the verticals, where you see the players. On the hardware side, you have transportation, healthcare, industrial, Advantech here, who's going to be speaking, they are a big player in providing these solutions and working up the value chain and the software, as well as providing hardware solutions for M2M communications and other solutions. You have semiconductor players also working at looking at moving up the value chain, because ultimately, IoT does not exist without cheap devices and cheap bandwidth. This means very low-cost commodity devices. The average price for a thing in our forecast is around $2. So you can see that inexpensive devices really enable this market. But in order to become viable as a hardware provider, you need to move up the value chain. You also need to pull together partnerships. And it doesn't matter if you're a GE or even a Microsoft, you need to partner with other solution providers to create that complete solution. This is critical. So if you're entering an IoT value proposition, you're really focused on looking at the hardware value proposition, you're looking at middleware providers, software, telecom, services, all of these things need to be addressed, and no one can do it alone. This underlines some of the challenges that I'll speak of when we talk about the actual use cases in the industry. This is based on our hype cycle for the Internet of Things. And on the left-hand side, you have the impact of these technologies. On the right-hand side, you have the time to maturity. So these products these technologies might be out today, but full maturity of these devices will not come until down the road. And what's fascinating about this picture is, in the next 2 to 5 years, it is really not about a consumer-dominated market for IoT. The traditional markets of smart city building control, you have transportation, you have energy management, you have smart fleet management, sensor fusion. These are B2B types of environments that are traditional IoT types of environments that are really evolving and taking the next step in developing their own infrastructure using IoT. In the 5 to 10 year range, that's when you really start to see the consumer take advantage of IoT and have IoT enable them to change the way they are doing their day-to-day lives. We'll touch upon a few of these. The exciting thing about IoT is that we talk about these big numbers through 2020, but the hockey stick effect, the real growth, is not going to happen until after 2020. That's when the consumers will really adopt IoT en masse, and you'll see huge volumes that could really move the needle. Now, I just said that consumers are not a big part of the forecast, and yet you see a big piece here of this forecast being consumers. In our definitions, we include in IoT as connected devices set-top box and digital TV. We do not include smartphones and tablets, but the set-top box and TV is skewing this forecast a little bit and showing you that it's bigger. People usually don't think of IoT devices as being set-top boxes or DTVs, but they are going to be a critical center point for the connected home in the next 5 to 6 years. So that's why we've included the existing installed base and forecast for digital TV and set-top box. But you can see the real growth is being driven by automotive, 57% growth between now and 2020. A lot of the growth driven by regulation of connected cars. You see a 53% growth in general business. We'll talk about general business in the use cases and the vertical specific areas of energy and utilities and so on. Over 8 billion shipments in 2020, as I mentioned. It's really about the value proposition behind those shipments. We also have to look at the services revenue and the investment of the service providers, the services driving hardware demand for IoT. For example, this slide is 100% of the market of a $32 billion market in 2013. This is services spending by industry, and you can see it exploding. By 2020, the services spending will grow to $166 billion, and this represents 100% of that. So even though these lines look fairly flat, it is a piece of a much bigger pie. You can really see that comms and media services will start to take off later in the decade. We'll start to see consumer devices in the home driving that. We'll start to see manufacturing and natural resources continue to be a strong portion of the IoT investment. Utilities, manufacturing. When people think of IoT, they think of wearables, they think of consumer devices. The real story is the investment in changing the way we work, changing the way our enterprise environment is, changing the way our manufacturing floor runs, changing the way our oil and gas platforms run. There's a lot of opportunities here, and this is the opportunities we teach our clients about in the next 2 to 5 years. Remember, the huge bump of consumer is really going to be a 2020 plus story. So let's jump into some use cases. And the first one I would like to show you is based on a company called Streetline. They provide a smart parking app and a sensor solution. And I wanted to give you sort of a picture of what they provide today and what they plan to provide in the near future, but give you a glimpse of the potential of the IoT infrastructure and how this can drive new services and new apps. So in this specific use case, the initial event, the driver enters the perimeter of the city. Simultaneously, another driver leaves a parking space, and the sensor down in the asphalt of the parking space notices that they leave, sends a signal to the data center, which analyzes the time of day and the amount of activity around the parking spaces and adjusts the pricing based on supply demand. The driver receives a message on their app that there's a spot available nearest their favorite store, pushes them, and also receives directions to that parking space real time. And the driver can also pay for the parking spot through their phone and also receive real-time updates on how much time they have left on the meter at the parking space. This is happening today. This is solutions like SF Park and Streetline are providing these solutions today. But once you have this sensing capability in the road, in the city, it can really benefit many other services. This is just one example of noise pollution. Cities really have to deal with noise pollution quite a bit. And these sensors have the ability to monitor noise and send information to the data center based on certain decibel levels exceeding the recommended limits. The authorities are notified that there's new construction, and they take the appropriate action to work with that construction company. So not only the initial value proposition of reducing congestion, a lot of studies say that 30% of citywide traffic congestion is people looking for parking. So if you eliminate that from the equation, you can improve the lifestyle of people driving through cities. But you can also do all kinds of other things. Sense the temperature of a city and adjust your city planning around that. You can do chemical sensing, pollution sensing, all of these things from one single point, one single thing. So where are we going with this? It's really limited to only our imagination. You can imagine services and apps being driven by the sensing of these devices, apps being driven by the looking at the amount of parking around a restaurant and going to a different restaurant instead of the one that you wanted to go to. Different kinds of services that we haven't even imagined based on the ability to sense your environment. That's really what IoT is all about. Street lighting and general purpose lighting will represent the biggest growth in IoT. These connected lights not only can help save money in energy management for a building or even a home, but they can provide different types of services. So this is a glimpse of what can happen today and also what is right around the corner as far as potential. So this company, Sensity, has the ability to provide the mall parking lot or retail store parking lot with connected lights. The event here is where a car enters the mall parking lot. The occupant dynamic lighting lights up ahead of time as the car drives through the parking lot. If there's no one in the parking lot, the lights turn off, saving energy. Video sensors can detect the open spots in this case, and they can also identify the driver based on their license plate or their Mac ID on their phone, and take appropriate action, like push them to a parking spot near their retail store that they've shopped at most frequently. The driver has a seamless experience of receiving these messages on their phone and drives and is directed to that parking spot. And once they're there, then a whole new level of retail analytics takes over. When they walk outside and go into the store, they're pushed into a whole new retail environment where they can enjoy different types of features that they never did before. And we haven't even touched upon the security aspects of these connected lights or the ability to not only save money, but to provide different services around them, Wi-Fi capability and so on. Let's move on to the manufacturing floor. And this robotic factory is about 15 miles from where I live in Fremont, California. This is the Tesla factory. And Tesla has been very aggressive in rolling out robots to further provide efficient and high-quality builds for their cars. Robotics are nothing new in the manufacturing environment. However, going forward, IoT will really take robotics to a whole new level. So there's a renewed interest in updating and providing value for these robots. So let's take a look at one example. In smart manufacturing, and really driven by Industry 4.0 and other elements, you have the ability to handle certain issues while not reducing your productivity or throughput. So in this case, the robot's vibration exceeds a threshold. The gateway or data center analyzes that information and with 90% probability has detected that it's a faulty bearing, most likely. The messaging service sends a request for quote to a supplier for a repair. Vendors confirm parts and date for the fix, and the robot is taken offline. What's fascinating is the speed of when this can be done. It's only limited by the human response, really. This happens within seconds, and the remaining robots are instructed at the same time to pick up their productivity speed to adjust for the lack of one robot. No failures or downtime, zero damaged machines, an efficient, ideal supply chain as a result, because you can predict these types of events happening. Another fascinating development in robots is comes from Kiva Systems, which is a robotics manufacturer as a wholly owned subsidiary of Amazon. And these robots actually unscrew the lifter here and actually pick up the shelf that are standing behind them and move the shelf to the pick and place worker. And in some warehouses, like in Amazon, there could be thousands of robots. in one warehouse, moving all the time, moving these crates all the time. Not only that, but they can dynamically learn as they move forward. Central computing will look at one shelf and say, this is only turning once a week or so. Look at another shelf, this is turning every 2 days. And the faster moving shelf is kept closer to the pick worker, and the slower moving shelf is sent back to the back of the warehouse. Constantly learning for more efficiencies. These robots are instructed to take the shelf to the pick and place worker, queue up behind the other robots, constantly moving forward, and then when they're done with their job, they're instructed to go back and get charged at the charging station. But let me take you into a future scenario that is not too far off, where you can utilize these robots for more than just more efficiency. In this case, a fire starts in a warehouse, which could be hugely damaging, not just from the fire, but a traditional sprinkler system that would damage millions of dollars worth of product in a warehouse. In this case, you have robots scattered throughout the warehouse that can sense a fire and send that information back to authorities. So in this case, a robot detects a small fire, detects the smoke, and sends the data to the gateway or data center, and through messaging services can immediately take action by sending the information to the warehouse manager. The warehouse alarm is sounded, but also send the information to authorities with the appropriate size of the fire. And the fact that human response has been estimated to put out that fire within a few minutes, and they should come just as backup. So you can see we talked about the economic value add of IoT, which people estimate in the trillions of dollars. And you can start to see the reality of what this can do to help save millions of dollars of product through basic sensing, but can also, through the services end, save money on the infrastructure side. So the authorities of a fire department will send 4 or 5 trucks if they don't know the detailed information, thinking that it's a warehouse fire, will send a lot of trucks. But if they know the exact information, they can send an appropriate response, in this case, 1 truck, to address the small fire that will most likely be put out by the time they get there. This is just one example of how, in a warehouse environment, you can take the ability to sense your environment and create new products and new services around it. I wanted to highlight very quickly what we've done in market sizing in 2014. And in this case, following the robotics examples, I wanted to show you our industrial IoT forecast. What we've done in 2014 is forecast over 200 things through 2020 across all major verticals. In this case, you're looking at connected devices or things, which include not only smart robots, but oil and gas pipeline sensors, smart gas meters, smart grid devices, and so on. And we've also taken the semiconductor component forecast of the major semiconductor products within those things. So major undertaking, over 200 things throughout every conceivable industry vertical, and we've forecasted this out. Let's move on to the retail space, go back to a retail environment. I was told last year that the number one investor in Silicon Valley startups was Walmart. And retail is really an area where you see a lot of non-technical companies, retailers, trying to transform the way they interact with their customers when they walk into the store. This is driven a lot by the online competition that they're getting. They want to have a smarter, more connected retail experience so that they can improve the experience of the customer as they walk into the store. Bluetooth beacons are enabling a lot of these connected solutions in the store. We've heard a lot of hype around Apple iBeacons, but there's a lot of work being done from Estimote and others where they can roll out different services that people don't realize can be done with Bluetooth. So for example, you have, even before you enter the store, proximity marketing. So you push coupons and you're drawn into the store through the app on your phone. Once you're in the store, they can recognize through your ID what you've shopped for in the past. If they have a shopping history for you, if you've allowed them to do that, they can now target very specific products to you that you've searched for, tell you not only that you can get a discount if you buy it today, but point you in the direction to the shelf of where it is through indoor location management. And finally, what a lot of people don't realize is that Bluetooth is actually working on competing with NFC in contactless payment. So if this is a safe solution that is developed, it can be a real competitor to NFC. Another area that is under a lot of investigation in the retail environment is shelf edge displays. And let me show you just a brief example of how these shelf edge displays can provide real value to the not only the customer, but the retailer. So in this case, some produce or some product supply-demand characteristics change, and the price needs to rise dynamically. The trigger has been done, and the information is sent to the head office analysts of the retail organization. They download the price changes to the gateway at the local stores. Local stores' shelf edge displays are automatically updated. On the bottom half here is really a glimpse into how we developed our forecast using these types of use cases. So we've not only evaluated how much floor space, for example, retail floor space there is in the world, but we've looked at penetration rates based on how affordable is this IoT solution, how easy is it to roll out, are there security concerns, are there different accelerators or inhibitors to this growth, and we put those assumptions into a model and basically come out with a forecast based on this and other elements. So we've done this where almost every one of the 200 plus items that we forecasted. So it just gives you a quick glimpse of what we've done there. Let's talk about wearables. I can't talk about IoT without talking about wearables. My personal opinion and Gartner's opinion is that wearables in the consumer market are going to grow, and they're going to be very popular. But what will dwarf the growth of consumer wearables is going to be in healthcare. Wearables will transform the way we take care of the elderly, the way we monitor ourselves and our health. And it's really exciting. But it's not going to happen tomorrow. There are a lot of privacy issues, a lot of security issues with connected health solutions. This solution here is from Google Labs. A lot of people might know about it. It actually detects glucose levels. So without pricking your finger, the tears in your eyes, it can pick up that information and dynamically send that information to your mobile phone. So healthcare is going to be a big piece of the wearable story later on in this decade. Here's another example of a glucose or a diabetic issue where a diabetic crisis is avoided using wearables. So in this case, the patient is at home and they're being monitored for their glucose levels and their heart rate. And in this case, a spike happens in their glucose levels, their heart rate starts to rise. And before they even have symptoms, the doctor knows what's going on. The doctor can immediately, through messaging services, take on actions to get a hold of the patient through emergency response. They can get a hold of the patient, visit them, take care of the problem, again, even before there are symptoms from the patient. So let's talk a little bit about how vendors should overcome the challenges. That it's quite interesting because we work with over 13,000 clients, and a lot of them are involved in or interested in an IoT, and they see the hype and are very drawn to it. But when it comes down to implementing an IoT solution as a service provider, it is very complicated. You have a lot of issues. You have disparate siloed systems that you need to link. You have a lack of API development, a lack of standards to link those disparate systems. You have security and privacy concerns. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to mature these solutions. So let's take a look at some of the accelerators. I talked about regulation. For example, in the connected car, government regulation is driving cellular modems to be added to cars so they can be connected for safety and security purposes. But that opens up a whole new opportunity for the connected car to connect to the diagnostic information from the engine and actually preventing mechanical breakdowns through services around the car. So there's tremendous opportunity there driven by government regulation. Falling costs, we've talked about the costs of these devices. As much as I say that these devices are cheap, in a lot of cases, especially consumer cases, they need to be cheaper before they become a realistic opportunity for the average consumer. Cloud computing and services will continue to push forward and mature, and developing these services around these things is really what it's all about. That's really where the value is at the end of the day. Let's talk about some of the inhibitors. I talked about affordability. How about complexity? You're talking again about pulling together multiple partnerships, working together on a unified platform that is generic enough to be placed for multiple customers, but still you need to have the flexibility to customize certain elements. Every manufacturing floor on Earth is different in different ways. When you roll out an IoT solution to an oil, gas, and platform or a retail store, every environment is different. The complexities are very, very tough. Confusing value propositions. I talked to one leading IoT provider who said, John, I walk up to these building supervisors, I tell them about this connected HVAC system that will save them millions of dollars a year in energy costs. It's a no-brainer. But I asked them, how are you going to get that value proposition and educate every building manager in the world? How are you going to scale this? Do you have to have a discussion with every building manager for them to understand this? So there's a lot of challenges in scaling the visibility of the benefit of these solutions. I think security will be the number one issue in 2015 for IoT. You'll start to see it more in the headlines. In fact, the press really loves a security breach. Last year, there was a breach in a light bulb, a connected light bulb, and they made a big deal out of it. They love that. That's good press for them. So they're going to be the biggest enemy of IoT in that sense. Standards need to move forward as well. We talked about different standards bodies working together, but they need to go through their natural evolution of political underpinnings and different agendas and work through those in order for these to succeed. The industrial market is probably the most mature in developing standards along this area. So finally, when you're implementing an IoT solution, don't think about the technology. The technology is an enabler. It will get you from point A to point B, but you really need to understand the value proposition is monetizing the information. IoT is all about things creating information and then creating value from that information. Clearly understand the competition and partnerships. We work with most clients that are involved in IoT. We understand the ecosystem very well, and we understand the strengths and weaknesses of each of these players very well. So Many of our questions that we get from our clients are, who should I best partner with? Who's the strongest in this vertical? Who's the strongest in this region? And we can help guide you in that. And finally, in Taiwan, one of the key messages for me is, if you're a semiconductor provider, look for scale, because these are low-cost devices. Look for ways that you can get high-volume solutions and really understand where the real opportunities are in IoT today versus the hyped opportunities. There's a famous saying, don't believe the hype, right? This is a ecosystem that's going to take some time to mature, but it's really going to change the way we work and live. I'm really excited about the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. John Barber. 非常谢谢 Mr. Barber 带来的精彩内容。接下来，我们特别隆重邀请到研华科技总经理何春盛何总。